Let's go back in our Bibles again to 2 Corinthians, if you would, please. 2 Corinthians, the last verse, which says, verse 17, "For we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ." And I want to run through some things. I started on this last week, and I ended up having the wrong slide projection thing. Had the wrong one, and I'm pretty sure I got the right one. And I'm not going to tarry long on some things I covered last week, but I am just going to set this up very quickly because I'm going to show you what's going on. I've mentioned this quite often. I check news every day. I see what's going on in the world. I don't just listen to the news broadcast over television. I kind of look around a little bit. Some stuff I couldn't care less, like Bruce Jenner. Okay? The main part of that is that's an abomination.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
I don't need to hear his story. I don't need to see him cry on TV or whatever. I don't need any of that stuff. But anyway, there's a lot going on in this world right now, and I want you to try to just wrap your head around this thing. Because if it's going on in the world, it's in the Bible. Because this Bible is a record of everything that goes on. And you say, well, I don't see how that could be. It's because it wasn't written by men. It was written by God. Amen. God is the author of this thing. And so in Psalm 139, he said, "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." And that book is your DNA. DNA is written just like a book. I've got a couple books now that I'm reading on DNA. One of them that I just got the other day, this guy is talking about how we are on the verge of, it's a book where he believes in evolution. He believes that we evolved from monkeys and the monkey evolved from worms. The worms evolved from fish. Fish evolved from sea jelly. And the sea jelly evolved from nothing. Doesn't make sense to me. Okay? But that's what he believes. And he said, it took millions of years for man to get where he is now. And he said, now we're on the verge of being able to take ourselves to the next step of evolution. Okay? That's what evolution is all about. Why they push evolution so hard in the schools and the colleges everywhere, why they push it so hard, it's not because it's important to know where we came from. It's because the agenda is to get everybody to go to the next step of evolution.
Amen.
Which is altering mankind's DNA, mankind's book. All right?
Yeah.
And so I want you to ponder that. In Genesis chapter 5, The Bible calls it the book of the generations of Adam, and it literally is, because in Genesis chapter 5 you get the lineage of Adam. You get his whole line up there. And in Matthew chapter 1, this is the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So your Bible is a representation, or let me put it this way, your DNA is a representation of your Bible. Your Bible is a picture of your DNA. The two coincide together. They're both called books. They're both laid out exactly like a book, including your DNA. All the scientists know how to read this thing. And they're learning more and more and more as time goes on. And I'm going to show you some things here in a little bit that if you have not paid much attention to this, I'm going to show you what's going on. I don't surf a bunch of... there's a lot of websites out there that are hype and speculation and full of conspiracy theories that probably are not true. I look at what is science doing, or what are they telling us science is doing right now. Because I think that they have already somewhere mixed animal and human DNA and let it grow. I just believe that. Okay, we're not told that. I don't have any evidence. But I know humans. And when humans figure out, humans don't like to know what they can do. Humans like to know what else they can do. So when they get to the point where they figured out how to mingle animal DNA in with human DNA, that was only phase one.
Yeah.
Phase two is, let's see what it does. Okay? There was a movie came out a couple years ago called Splice, and it was exactly that. It was about an animal-human hybrid that they had created. All right? And there's a lot of things in there. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2:17, we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God. And then Jesus said in Revelation 22:18, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. So I want you to think about this in relation to this book right here, and then think about what we just learned. Think about DNA. To me, if I am given some treatment by a doctor, which right now I'm not worried about, but let's say 5 years from now, they have the ability to cure cancer, Alzheimer's, you name the disease, they can cure it and make it go away by changing all the DNA in your body, changing literally every cell, because every cell that you have has a copy of the DNA in it. And they have it, let's say, in 5 years from now. Is that doable? Yeah, the way things are going right now. Let's say they have the way of changing your DNA by adding something, let's say, from a shark. Sharks don't get cancer. But you didn't know that, Keith. Sharks don't get cancer. Okay? Because they don't smoke. Amen? And the reason why they don't smoke is they're underwater. Can't keep them lit, all right? But anyway, sharks don't get cancer. So let's take shark DNA. Let's take some other animal DNA and let's put it in the DNA of man. They are already hybridizing certain animals, pigs and cows, putting human DNA in cows so that the milk that the cow produces can be drank by those who are lactose intolerant. They're augmenting the cows, they're augmenting pigs, they're augmenting rice that has human DNA in it, growing in Kansas right now. This is what they do. So let's flip it around. Here's what I'm saying. 5 years from now, 10 years from now, a year from now, if they say we have now a cure for all the diseases, we're gonna alter your DNA. I'm not doing it. I don't care how bad sick I am. I'm not doing it. Because what happens is that is a violation of what Jesus said in Revelation 22. Don't add to and don't take away from the words that are in this book. And if you do that, I'll add to you the plagues. And if you take away from them, I'll take your name out of the book of life. And just to ask you a question, how much monkey DNA can be put into a human before we have to say they're not human anymore? Because the difference between humans and chimpanzees, about 1-2% in the DNA. It would be like if you had your King James Bible translated the way it is, and then someone came in and took John chapter 3 out and replaced it with something else. Who knows John 3:16? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten. That is the most famous and probably the best scripture in the whole Bible that displays what God did for mankind and how he can be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So we take John chapter 3 out because it also says, know you not that if except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Let's take that out and replace it with something from, I don't know, the Book of Mormon or the Quran or something else. Let's put that in its place. Would you accept that Bible? No, sir. No way, no how. I wouldn't touch it. I wouldn't have that thing in here. That's a violation of God's Word. Amen? So let's just say that they wanted to take John 3:16 out and put something else in there. Is that the Word of God? No, it's corrupt. It's got corruption in it. Okay? In a very, very particular place. And I'm just kind of getting you to think about how this thing works. How much monkey DNA would they be able to put into a human to where that person is not a human anymore? Not much. Not much. I'd say just one gene.
Yeah.
Okay? One little genetic trait, all right? Now, let's see here. Let's go to Proverbs 35. Every word of God is pure. I've talked about that. He sent His word and healed them. And think about the Bible. Think about the Bible healing our soul's diseases. Think about DNA. And if we keep our DNA intact, it'll help us. Pleasant words are in the honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Speak the word only, my servant shall be healed. With his word, he cast out spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. I covered all these last week, that's why I'm going through them fairly quickly. Now, here's where I wanted to get to. This is an article that came out, I think, last week or the week before last. And it's from a science website. And the article says, chicken embryos with dinosaur snouts created in a lab. So they took a chicken embryo. They took it at its just a few cells big, not quite bacon and egg worthy. Okay? Not quite egg worthy, not quite breakfast worthy. But they took a chicken embryo, just a few cells, and they took the DNA of that chicken out that makes the chicken beak. They know where that, they can read it because it's written just like a book, Diane. The guys that do this every day, they can read that book. So they take out the part that puts the beak on the chicken and they rewrite it so that it would form a dinosaur-like snout coming out of its face. That, I don't even want to see that.
Amen. Amen.
That just is grotesque to me. Amen? Amen? It is. This is not science fiction we're living in anymore. We're living in science fact, and it's scarier than any movie ever was. All right? This is what they're able to do. Here's another one. A potato made with gene editing. You know what that means? When you edit something, who's ever had a document edited? Anybody work in an office or something like that? Okay, you've had your documents edited. Somebody went through and didn't like what you said, so they rewrote it. Okay? They put marks in it or they had you rewrite it. Here, take this out and put something else in. Now they're able to take, and potatoes are a staple. Potatoes is what helped build America. Amen?
Amen.
Potatoes and onions. Oh, and all, they're good too. Amen? Because when you pull potatoes up out of the ground, you keep them in the right place, a nice dry place and everything like that. And you can carry potatoes around for a long, 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 long time. They'll last you a long time. And onions are that way too if you treat them right. All right? And grains. And that's what kept people eating between harvest times. We're talking about the staples of life. If you leave America and go east, it's rice. And they're already toying with rice and what they can do with rice and how they can change rice and so on. But here's what they did. They, instead of trying to hybridize the potato, which takes years to do, because you got to slowly but surely graft in something else to it, and it takes processive growths over time. They just cut through all of that. They go right in and alter the genetic sequence that's in that potato to turn it into exactly what they want to turn it into. I think I'll leave potatoes alone. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Mashed potatoes are good. Amen. And French fries, in Kenya they call them chips. French fries are chips. In America, chips are these real thin little slices of deep fried potatoes. Crispy with a lot of salt. Amen?
Amen.
They call big old fat French fries over there chips. That came from England, by the way. So we're looking at genetically modified animals, genetically modified plants. Now let's deal with genetically modified humans. Let's look at that, all right? Let me read this article and put it up on the screen. I'm going to read it to you. Late last month, a group of Chinese scientists published a study that tried to answer the question, is it possible to edit the genetic makeup of a human embryo? When the baby is just a few cells, let's go in, take a sample of their DNA. All they have to do is pull one cell. If the embryo gets to 8 cells, which doesn't take very long, they can go in and take one cell away from that and it won't hurt it. Because those initial cells, they're all the same. At some point, you have what's called cell differentiation. You have, here's a Bible way of looking at it. Think of the church starting in Jerusalem. 3,000 people get saved on the day of Pentecost, right? Does everybody follow me? Go read the book of Acts, you'll see it. And they were all there clustered together. That's the original cells of when you were conceived in your mother's womb. But then at some point, Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, you should be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the othermost parts of the world. And what happened was, they were there in Jerusalem and they were staying there. They weren't leaving anywhere. And God allowed persecution to come in and it scattered them. Then they went to Judah. They left Jerusalem, went out to Judah. And then some of them went to Samaria, and then some went to the uttermost part of the world. And here it is right here. That's what cell differentiation looks like. All the cells are the same, and they're all part of this big bundle. And at some point, they all start turning into skin and heart and blood and lungs and hair and lips and eyeballs. Isn't it cool? I love this, all right? But before it gets that far, they take one of the cells out. They read the DNA. They find out what they don't like, and they take it out and put something else in its place, and then re-inject that back into the embryo cluster, and now that's going to take over that human. That human has been altered from nearly the moment he was conceived. That's what they had. They had the ability to do that. The Chinese figured it out before anybody else did. Now the world is scrambling to decide how ethical this is. That's all going to go away.
Amen.
That's all going to go away. Because the book I was reading this week, they've already got a test case in London where, I don't even know how to explain it. They've already done this with a young girl that was born with some kind of genetic disorder. She was going to die within months of being born. And her mother and daddy allowed them to go and change her DNA, so now she won't die. Okay? It's already going on. They have the ability to read the DNA. They have the ability to change the DNA as just almost right after a child is conceived in the mother's womb. I don't think God wanted us to be able to do that.
Amen.
He said, don't do it. Well, let me rephrase that. God allows it to happen. Amen? He's obviously allowing it to happen, but He warned us what would happen if we did it.
Yeah.
You know as well as I do, who in here has ever got, let me ask it this way, who in here has never gotten a speeding ticket? Okay, a couple of you. I believe that out of you two. Okay? Never got a speeding ticket. The rest of you have. You saw the speed limit sign. You ignored it. Amen? You go up to some states and actually put a list of the amount of the fines that you're going to get for certain speeds over the speed limit. Okay? Some people look at that and go, I can do that. I can do that. Sure can. Okay? But anyway, just because there's a warning, that doesn't stop people from doing stupid things. Can I get you to agree to that? Say amen. Here's another article. Scientists create man-made DNA that mimics killer diseases, injects them into patients to create immunity. That doesn't sound healthy to me. It sounds like man is forming his own destruction. That's what it sounds like. If I were to take this and look at it in the Bible, that is exactly what's going on. Man is forming his own agent of destruction. That's what's happening. Now, and here's the book I got this week, Designer Genes. How the forces of natural selection are about to be replaced by the forces of human selection. And this guy is advocating, which means he's for us figuring out how to use DNA editing to make everybody not die. So let's go here to see what that looks like. Take your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden and to dress it and to keep it. The Lord God commanded them, and by the way, that was easy in those days. It was easy in those days. God hadn't cursed the ground yet. What did He curse the ground with? thorns. I'm going to talk about that this morning again. I know I've preached it before, but I just I think God wants me to preach it again. He took him to keep it and to dress it. And before sin was in the world, that was an easy job. All right? In verse 16, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." And here God is offering mankind this amazing choice. Because God didn't say you can only eat from this one tree and all the rest of them you can't eat from. God didn't say that. He put the majority on the blessing side. He said you can eat all the trees that are in the garden. The apples, the oranges, the pears, the bananas, the tomatoes. You can eat all of that. It's going to be freely given to you. You can have as much as you want. And you'll live and eat of this tree of life and you'll live forever inside this garden. I'll bless you. There's only one tree that you can't eat from. And Adam, up until Eve was tempted, apparently didn't have a problem with that. He realized that God had blessed him more than just limiting him to one tree. So anyway, but God gave the commandment. The day that thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. By the way, let me help you with Bible language. When Adam ate of that fruit, Genesis 3, did he die before sundown?
No.
The answer is no. So what did God lie? Was he not? I've heard people say, well, he died spiritually. I don't see that in the Bible. I don't see it anywhere. What I see is how God explains what he means. A day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. And he says that in 2 Peter, then over in the Psalms, for a 1,000 years is as but yesterday in thy sight, O Lord. So we have two witnesses that tell us, and actually there's a third verse in there that does it. There are two to three witnesses in the Bible that tell us that a day can be either 24 hours, the evening and the morning were the first day, or 1,000 years. Ask yourself the question. How old was Adam before he died? 930 years. Who was the oldest man in the Bible? Do you know? Come on. Methuselah. How old was he? Anybody know? 969 years. Okay? 31 years short of being 1,000 years old. God meant what he said. Nobody lived to be 1,000 years old. That hit me one day. I'm just going, the Bible's right. No one lived to be 1,000 years old, ever. God meant exactly what he said. All right? So he made that promise. Now in Genesis chapter 3, we have the old devil coming in, and he's going to lie. He is the deceiver. He is the tempter. He's going to be the accuser. You ever had a kid like that? You ever play with a kid like that? Get everybody stirred up, lie to them about it, get them all stirred up, and then run tell on them. I don't like kids like that. Amen. I don't like adults like that either. Amen. Amen. In Genesis chapter 3, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" The woman, he's questioning God's word. And the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." Eve added to God's word. We just got corruption going on of God's word. Major corruption coming from both the serpent and the woman. All right? A woman is always a picture of church. A church of some kind. And he said, the serpent said, verse 4, the serpent said unto the woman, "Ye shall not surely die." All he did was add one word to God's word. God said, "In the day that thou eatest, thou shalt surely die." And all he did was inject the word "not." So, should we allow them to just take one gene out of our DNA makeup and replace it with some other gene so that we would not surely die? No. No, no, no. And that's what's going on. That's what's happening right now. It is a violation of what God ordained. God has built a death mechanism into my DNA. And I'm embracing it. Amen? I'm ready for it because I have accepted by faith that when this body ceases, God has a new one ready for me. The seed of that new body, of that new tree, of that new stalk has already been planted. And all I have to do is wait for the harvest time. Amen? That's what's going on here. Here's another article. Engineering the perfect baby. Scientists are developing ways to edit the DNA of tomorrow's children. Should they stop before it's too late? It's already too late. Okay? You already let... What happens when the camel's nose gets under the tent? Here comes the rest of the camel. Okay? What happens when you open Pandora's box? Everything's going to come out. What happens when science figures out that they can do something? They don't then stop to ask the question, should they have done it? They should have asked that question before they did it. But they didn't. They decided that they figured out how to do it. Now they can edit all the babies so it turns into exactly what they think is going to be perfection. Adolf Hitler was trying this in Nazi Germany, World War II. He was experimenting on racial purification. That's what he was doing. Who is it that formed Planned Parenthood? What's her name?
Margaret Sanger.
Okay? Margaret Sanger was a woman that you could tell by her writings was a fierce racist.
Amen.
Fierce racist.
Amen.
She wrote about how the black race does nothing but procreate, and they're pulling off all the resources from all us good whites. That's what she wrote.
Amen.
So she started Planned Parenthood to go in to urban areas to try to get their population reduced. Hillary Clinton said that Margaret Sanger was her role model.
Yeah, she sure did.
She absolutely did. Okay? These people are evil. Don't think anything else. They are evil people. But this is about genetic purification. And for the first time in human history, we are literally opening the door to genetic purification, genetic modification. We're right there. Here's another thing. I want to bunch these two together. Take your Bible to Revelation chapter 13. Turn there. Revelation chapter 13. That would be after Revelation chapter 12, in case anybody has a problem with that. All right? Let me read this to you, then I'll read this article, and maybe it'll make sense to you. Revelation 13:15, the false prophet rises up out of the earth. The Bible says he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And I want you to look at verse 17, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. We are being sort of, I guess, programmed or whatever. We're being trained like trainable monkeys to quit reaching for the cash part of our wallet. And actually, we're also being trained to quit reaching for our wallet. We're going to start. I can already pay for stuff with this. I don't, but I can. I can get different apps. I can get a Starbucks app and have money put onto it. And every time I go to Starbucks, all I have to do is just show them that, click, and there it is. I'm going to admit something. I just thought of something. I think the Holy Ghost is, Mike, be honest. I have a McDonald's app on here. Okay? Me and Lisa, on Sweetie Pie Day, every Friday, we go to McDonald's and eat. And she always asks me, what's on the app? What can we get free? And I pull it up, and it's always got a free coupon in there, and I just show them that. See what I'm doing?
Yeah.
It's right here, okay?
Right.
At some point, nobody on the planet is going to be able to buy or sell unless you had that mark. What is that mark? There's a lot of things the Bible says about it. I won't get into all that today, but it's an identification, because that's what the Bible says. Paul said, mark them, which cause division. Okay, mark them. In other words, identify them and separate from them. So marking is an identification thing, all right? So what if they actually do change people's DNA? They would have to have a way of checking that, just like they can fingerprints. Okay? Some of the police forces now, some of the bigger ones, are using technology. They'll use something like this. It looks like a phone. Maybe there's an app for it. I don't know. Where on the scene, they can either check the fingerprint that somebody left behind, like on a doorknob, or a desk, or a chair, or the baseball bat that they killed the guy with, or whatever, and instantly know who that was while they're on the scene. Because it'll check into what's called APIS, which is the fingerprint identification system. But now there's another thing called CODIS. And CODIS is the DNA identification system. And they're already using that. They're already using it. So on the scene, the police of the future, the very near future, would be able to read someone's DNA and know. Right now, see this article up here, special operators are using rapid DNA readers. Right now, back when DNA reading first came out, when they started using it in court, it took weeks to map out someone's DNA and find out if it was a match. It took weeks to do that. The time frame now is 90 minutes. 90 minutes from the time a DNA sample is taken to when it's read is now down to 90 minutes. What's to say, and they're working on making that quicker, and they will. They will get that far. Because anything, remember what God said in Genesis 11? Anything that man dreams up, whatever is in his imagination, that's what he's going to do. And we're imagining a system right now where we can check people at the store, at the gas station, when you go pick up your paycheck, or when you go to the bank, buying or selling, you have to be marked, or you can't. This is where we're headed with this, and it all has to do with what's in the book. Genetic engineering takes steps toward building superhumans, like superheroes, people who have... How many of these Marvel characters have genetic alterations? Spider-Man does, the Hulk does, Captain America does. Who else? Am I missing anybody? The whole score of them now that are being genetically modified. And I guarantee you there's enough people out there that want to be altered so they can be like superheroes. They can have all these powers. Think of sports stars. Okay? If you think Mark McGwire taking steroids and hitting 70 home runs was something, wait until some baseball star modifies his DNA to where his strength is enhanced to, let's say, that of a gorilla. A gorilla will beat a man every time. Gorillas are very, very strong, powerful creatures. Let's say that he causes him to develop strength like that. How many home runs is he going to hit? All of them. Unless the pitcher just starts hitting him with the ball and making him go to first base. All right? Want to stay healthy? You'll need to become an animal-human hybrid. This is what's coming down the road. Now, next week, we're going to talk about genetically modified churches, because it applies the same. No matter where the book is, the application is the same. We're genetically modifying humans, and we have been genetically modifying churches for years. And here's where I'm going with that. See, this set of DNA, this is how I was saved.
Amen. Amen.
As a missionary to France, was preaching out this book, and I believed it at 9 years old and said, I don't want to go to hell. I didn't want to go to hell when I was nine. I'm 49 now. I don't want to go to hell 40 years later. Amen?
Amen?
Still don't want to go to hell. This is how I've been formed all of my life. Now, the devil at one time in my life tried to intervene by getting me to change books. And I was on that road. And God brought me back. And I'm going to stand here and tell everybody, don't go down that road.
Amen.
Don't do it. It's not, you won't like it, I promise you. All right? So we'll talk about that next week.